This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وَلَمَّا جَاءَ عِيسَى بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ قَالَ قَدْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَلِأُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So inshallah ta'ala, we're going to start a new surah today, and that is Surah Al-Infitar. Surah Al-Infitar, Al-Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, he brought the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he said, "Man sarrahu an yanzura ila al-qiyama ra'ya ayn, فَلْيَقْرَأْ إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ شَقَّتْ." He said, whoever wants to look at the Qiyamah as though you can see it with your eyes, let him read إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ إِذَا السَّمَاءُ شَقَّتْ. These three surahs, it's like you're looking at the Qiyamah with your eyes. Whoever wants to look at what Yawm al-Qiyamah, they want to see it, Ra'y al-Ayn, they want to see it like it's in front of your eyes, then read, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ إِذَا السَّمَاءُ شَقَّتْ. He also brought the narration of Al-Imam al-Nasa'i from the hadith of An-Jabirin radiyallahu ta'ala an, regarding Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu leading the people in Isha. And we've come across this hadith many times so far. And that is that Mu'adh, he led the people in Salat al-Isha and he lengthened the prayer. فَطَوَّلَ, he made the prayer long. In some of the narrations, it's mentioned that he led them with Surah Al-Baqarah. He made the prayer long for them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, أَفَتَّانٌ أَنْتَ يَا مُعَاذ, are you someone who wants to put the people to trial? Do you want to make things hard for the people and make the people in a state where maybe someone's going to stop coming to pray because of how long you pray? Maybe someone's going to leave the salah because of you're lengthening the prayer. أَفَتَّانٌ أَنْتَ يَا مُعَاذ, أَيْنَ كُنْتَ عَنْ سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى وَالضُّحَى وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ. In the majority of the narrations, it doesn't mention Al-Infitar, but in the narration of Imam al-Nasai, it mentions Surah Al-Infitar. In any case, Surah Al-Infitar is the same length, really, isn't it? If you look at the length roughly, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى, al-duha, al-shams, wa-shamsi wa-duhaha, wa-layli idha yaghsha, wa-duha, all of these are mentioned around the kind of length that the person should lead the people in Salat al-Isha. And generally speaking, that's important, especially for us in this country when we have Isha so late. When Isha is at 11 o'clock or 11:30, 10:10, for it is so important for a person to have the understanding of this, that don't make the people that the person says, I don't come to Isha because the person lengthens the prayer, the imam lengthens the prayer. But lead the people with approximately the length of وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى وَالضُّحَى. And in some of the narrations, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ. It's a small surah, right? إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ out of these, in this part of Juz Amma, it's the smallest one, if I'm not mistaken. Out of the surah which are in Juz Amma, in this part, in this part after Sabbih Isma Rabbika Al-A'la, after Surah Al-Tariq, when you go to Al-Buruj and Al-Mutaffifin and Idha Sama'un Shaqqat, this one is one of the smaller ones, or the smallest. So it is also suited for a person to lead Salat Al-Isha with. And we've mentioned the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ regarding leading the Salah, that first of all, it was the habit of the Prophet ﷺ usually, not always, but usually, that he would read from Al-Mufassal. He would read from the last part of the Qur'an, from Surah Qaf until the end of the Qur'an. From Surah Qaf until the end of the Qur'an. Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned in Zadul Ma'ad that generally, rahimahullah ta'ala, that generally the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would read a whole surah, generally, in each rak'ah. And sometimes he might divide the surah into two. And usually he would read two that are next to each other. For example, Al-A'la and Al-Ghashiyah, or Al-Fajr and Al-Balad, or Al-Shams and Al-Layl, or Al-Duha and Al-Sharh, and so on. And sometimes he wouldn't, like Al-Kafirun and Al-Ikhlas. But usually there's a link between the two. If he didn't read them back to back, there's a link that links the two together. Like Surah Al-Kafirun talks about worshipping Allah alone and being free of those who are worshipped besides Allah. And Qul Hu Allahu Ahad talks about affirming that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one in His names and attributes and actions. So these two go together, right? So generally speaking, that would be what the Prophet ﷺ would do. And there's no harm. There is no harm in reading any part of the Qur'an. فَقَرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. But in the length, if we look at the Mufassal, it starts from Surah Qaf and it ends at Surah An-Nas. We can divide it into three lengths: long, medium, and short. Long length are those which are several pages long. For example, Surah Qaf, Surah Al-Dhariyat, Surah At-Tur, Al-Najm, Al-Rahman, Al-Waqi'ah, that are long, several pages, sometimes 4 pages, 3 pages, several pages long. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to lead with these in Fajr, two of them, right? In the Fajr of Jumu'ah, what did he used to lead the Salah with? وَكَانَ يُوَاضِبُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. He used to do it regularly. And I'm only going to ask the people who come to this masjid. Surah Sajda and Surah Insan. And that's what we do in this masjid every single Jumu'ah. The Fajr of Jumu'ah, Surah Sajda and Surah Insan. Surah Sajda is not from the Mufassal. That shows you there is no harm in going outside. And it's not next to Surah Al-Insan, but that was the sunnah. That وَكَانَ يُوَاضِبُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. He used to do that regularly and consistently every Friday in Fajr. But you get the idea. Surah Sajda is how long? Two and a half pages, three pages. Surah Al-Insan, 2 pages, give or take. So this is the kind of length that he would lead the Fajr prayer with. As for the Dhuhr prayer, the medium length ones, which are, let's say, in medium length, we're talking about 1 to 2 pages long. The longer of the medium length ones, he would lead in Dhuhr. The longer of the medium length ones, he would lead the Dhuhr prayer with them. Such that if he started the Dhuhr, you could go from his masjid to the Baqi'ah to make wudu and come back and you would still be in the first rak'ah. From the masjid to the graveyard, make wudu, come back and still go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom, make wudu, come back and still be in the first rak'ah. About between 1 to 2 pages long, roughly. In the second rak'ah of Dhuhr, about half of that. In the Asr prayer, again, shorter. Still in the middle length ones, but still shorter. So now we're at about a page or so, and then shorter again. In the Maghrib, Qisar al-Mufassal, the short, the really short ones, like from Alam Nashrah Laka Sadarak until the end of the Quran. The very small ones, like half a page, a third of a page. But it doesn't hurt for you to read from whatever is easy for you. فَقَرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. It doesn't hurt at all. You can read from whatever is easy for you. But why we're saying all of this is, these lengths are the sunnah. And whenever you go beyond them or too much above them, it might create a problem for the people. Now someone might ask a question. What about if people say the sunnah is too long? This is a good question, huh? What about if people say the sunnah is too long? 5 pages in Fajr, it's too long. Make it 2 pages. We say there is no turning away from the sunnah. You can't claim the sunnah is too long. If the sunnah is too long, the problem is with you, not with the sunnah. However, the imam looks at the need of the people, older people, people may be struggling. Fajr is at 3 in the morning, Isha was at 11:30 at night. Yeah, for sure, the imam takes that into account. Maybe he's not going to go like 4 pages and 3 pages, 7 pages for Fajr. He's going to go 4 pages, 5 pages and make it easy for the people. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, يَسِّرُوا وَلَا تُعَسِّرُوا. So Mu'adh, he said, make it easy, don't make it difficult. So Mu'adh made it long. And the Prophet ﷺ, he indicated for him the Isha prayer was hard for them in those days. Because Isha for them, it was sleep time. You know, people, when the lights went out, when it got dark, everybody went to sleep. It wasn't like now, the lights go out, it gets dark and everybody wakes up and starts going around. Everybody went to sleep. And the Isha prayer was hard for them. 2 prayers were hard upon the munafiqeen. Salatul Fajr, Salatul Isha, the Isha prayer. So keeping it to a reasonable length. So the Isha prayer among the shorter of the medium length ones, towards the shorter end of the medium length, like 1 page, give or take a little bit per rak'ah. This surah is Makkiyah. It was revealed when the Prophet was in the Meccan phase of the seerah. He was living in Mecca at that time. And it is a surah which talks about Yawm al-Qiyamah. Now, here there are 2 things to think about. Does the whole surah talk about Yawm al-Qiyamah, or does only the first few lines talk about Yawm al-Qiyamah? The hadith, من سره أن ينظر إلى القيامة رأي عين فليقرأ. This hadith that we talked about, hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. This hadith, yes, it talks about the surah telling you as if you can see the qiyamah رأي العين. That is primarily at the beginning of the surah, right? But otherwise, if you link the surah, the whole surah is in the context and the discussion of Yawm al-Qiyamah. The whole surah is on the context discussion of Yawm al-Qiyamah, but the first part is the part that is most appropriate to the hadith. That when you hear the first part, it is like Ra'iy al-Ayn, like you are seeing it with your own eyes. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ أَيْ إِنْشَقَّتْ. And the interesting thing is, if you go to Surah Al-Inshiqaq, they say, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ شَقَّتْ إِنْفَطَرَتْ. So the tafsir of one with the other. What's the meaning of إِنْفَطَرَتْ? إِنْشَقَّتْ. What's the meaning of إِنْشَقَّتْ? إِنْفَطَرَتْ. We didn't get any further forward. Because both of them, the tafsir is made in light of the other. But these two words are both words that are fairly easy to understand in the Arabic language. The word shaqqa is for something to be split up and to be separated from one side from the other. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ. This word يُشَاقِق from shaqqa It means to separate from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Messenger is on one side and you are on the complete other side. The Messenger is on one side and you are completely on the other side. Completely on the other side. So it is like you are on one side of the valley and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is on the other side of the valley. So splitting something completely, one side separate from the other side. And in Fatarat, in Surah Al-Mulk, هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورِ. Do you see any gaps in it? Do you see any breaks in the sky? So in Fatarat is to break up to break up with gaps in between. And in Shaqqat is to split so that one is separate from the other. The two are close in meaning. Ibn Kathir, he brought the ayah in Surah Al-Muzzammil, As-sama'u munfatirun bih. وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ. وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ. Ibn Jarir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, تَسَاقَطَتْ مُتَفَرِّقَةً. When the stars fall down, each one separate from the other, separately. So they don't fall down and gather together into one place, like all fall down into the same place. But they fall down separately. And this word, intathara, that's what it means. Tasaqata mutafarriqa, watafarraqa. Some of them said, tasaqata watafarraqa. They fall down and each one of them is separate from the other. They fall down and they fall apart from one another. وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. Al-Bihar are the seas. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. When the seas are erupted and they become like one sea. Some of the scholars of tafsir, they explained it like that. Ibn Jarir, he said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, فَجَّرَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهَا فِي بَعْضٍ فَمَلَأَ جَمِيعَهَا. That they erupt some of them into the others and they all become full. Meaning, صارت بحرا واحدا ممتلئا. This is what he means. It becomes one giant sea. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. It means the seas all become one giant sea that is full to the brim. So the sky starts to break apart. The stars fall down, each one separately. The seas erupt so that they all melt into one another and become one giant sea that is full to the brim. Some of the scholars, they said other things about it. They said, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. They mentioned that the sweet water mixes in with the salty water and it becomes one type of water. But in any case, the meaning is clear. Fujirat, they erupt. And the ibarat, the different ways the scholars of tafsir explained it, is quite similar. They said it becomes one, or it becomes full, or it mixes all together into one. Similar kind of statements. وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. And when the graves بُعْثِرَتْ. The word بَعْثَرَةْ, in Arabic. And bu'thirat, what it means is inqalabat. That's what the word itself means. Bu'thirat, inqalabat. The bottom of it becomes the top, and the top of it becomes the bottom. Bu'thirat, what is on the bottom becomes the top, and what is on the top becomes the bottom. It turns upside down. As-Suddi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, تُحَرَّكُ فَيُخْرِجُ مَنْ فِيهَا or فَيَخْرُجُ مَنْ فِيهَا فَيُخْرِجُ مَنْ فِيهَا. That they shake and they move and everything that is in them come out. Everything that is in them come out. We heard about this also already in وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. That the earth will throw out from it what was in it. And we said, didn't we say that there was two opinions about it, the dead bodies and the treasure. And what did we say in the end? That both of them are true because the ayah is general, it doesn't specify. وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا. مَا is مِنْ أَلْفَاظِ الْعُمُومِ, general word. Whatever is in the earth gets thrown out. The bodies, the people who were buried in the earth, the treasure that was buried, all the civilizations and things that were underneath the earth will throw all of it out. وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. Here specifically the graves are mentioned. وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. When the graves are turned upside down. And so their contents is scattered around. And that's similar to what Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. Throws out what is in it and it is done with it. You know, like it wants rid of it. Everything that was within the earth wants to get rid of it, get it out. And it comes out. All the secrets on that day are open for everyone to see. Some of them said, أخرج ما فيها من الذهب والفضة وما إلى ذلك. Some of them said that the gold and silver that was buried in the graves. Some people used to bury like that. If you think about Fir'aun and those type of people, and they are buried with their wealth. Many cultures used to bury people with their wealth. They used to bury the person and bury their gold and silver. So Al-Farra and others, they said, the gold and silver that is buried with those people will be turned out. It will be brought forward so they can be questioned about it. Where did this come from and why was it buried? But here, it seems that the intended meaning here is the bodies from the grave. وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. Because this is المتبادر إلى الذهن. This is what comes to mind when the graves are turned out, that it is the bodies in the graves. And as for other things being buried in the grave, they can be turned out with it. There is no harm in that. And they can come out with it. But the objective or the purpose behind the ayah is the bodies that are thrown out from the graves. وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. Every soul, and the reason we say every soul, someone might say, where's the word every here? Nafsun here, it doesn't have any al on it, right? So it's nakira. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ. And this is also min siyagh al-umum, from the ways of saying generally. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ. Every soul will know. مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. What it brought forward and what it put back. Now the question is, what it put forward and what it kept back. What is intended by this? And here you see a lot of different examples. And if you remember when we've been talking about tafsir, we've been saying to people that many of the differences of opinion in tafsir are differences of opinion because they are amthila, they're examples of different things rather than them being differences of opinion. So here, ما قدمت وأخرت ما قدمت وأخرت. It's mentioned that it's the soul that brought it forward or the soul that put it back. Some of them said ما قدمت من خير وشر وما أخرت بعد الموت. ما قدمت من خير وشر. What the soul did of good and evil during its lifetime. وما أخرت بعد الموت. The things that came of good and evil to that soul's account after death. So now the question is, hold on a second. You have to stop there when you read that statement of tafsir there. ما قدمت من خير وشر. Okay, I get that. You're alive, you do good, you do bad. You did this in your lifetime. ما قدمت, يعني the soul did it while it was alive. The soul did good and did bad. But how did the soul get good and bad after death? In other words, how did the soul do something good after dying or do something bad after dying? They say that these are the things that it did in its lifetime that the effect of it or the consequence of it happened after they died. Like من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة فله أجرها وأجر كل من عمل عليها إلى يوم القيامة من غير أن ينقص من أجورهم شيء كما قال أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. That whoever does a good action in Islam will have the reward of it and the reward of everyone who acts upon it until يوم القيامة without that reward being decreased from that person in anything. وَمَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةً سَيِّئَةً. And whoever does an evil example, فَعَلَيْهِ وِزْرُهَا. He will have the sin of it. And the sin of everyone who acts upon it until يوم القيامة without reducing مِنْ أَوْزَارِهِمْ شيء, without reducing anything from their burden. So some of them said it like this, مَا قَدَّمَتْ, meaning the things you did in your life, وَمَا أَخَّرَتْ, what comes to you after death from the fruits of what you did in your life. Some of them said this. But it could be said that all of this goes back to مَا قَدَّمَتْ, right? Because ultimately, what you get in your grave is because of what you did in your life. It's not like you're getting something in your grave that is unrelated to what you did in your life. Yeah? What you're getting in your grave is because of what you did in your life. So some of them, they said, مَا قَدَّمَتْ, what they did in their life, وَمَا أَخَّرَتْ, what will come to them يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ from the rewards or punishments for what they did. مَا قَدَّمَتْ, what they did in their life, and مَا أَخَّرَتْ, and what is going to come to them يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ as a result of what they did. Ibn Jarir rahimahullah ta'ala, he was the one who said, or it was his opinion that he said this, that it's What, like من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة, that you set a good example in your life and the rewards came to you after your death. This was the opinion of Ibn Jarir rahimahullah ta'ala. And he took it from before him, from the Tabi'in, Muhammad ibn Ka'b al-Quradi. And some of them said, as we said, what the person did of sins and good deeds and the rewards that will come to them yawm al-qiyamah. Some of them said, مَا قَدَّمَتْ are the sins, وَمَا أَخَّرَتْ are the good deeds. How did they say that? مَا قَدَّمَتْ, the sins that they did in their life, وَمَا أَخَّرَتْ, because those sins, they were of no benefit to them in the Akhirah, if that makes sense. The sins, they didn't help them in the Akhirah. So the sins are that which they put forward, and مَا أَخَّرَتْ, what they stored for the hereafter of good deeds. But this even also has فيه نظر, has a little bit of a question mark over it, because in reality, what you do in the dunya and what you do in the akhirah, whether it's sins or whether it's good deeds, then you're going to meet yawm al-qiyamah, the reward or the consequences of that. Qatada ibn Zayd and Ikrima rahimahumullahu ta'ala, they said, ma qaddama min fard wa akhara min fard. ما قدم من فرض أو أخر من فرض. And this really is actually a subset of a different opinion, which is that ما قدمت وأخرت, it just means all of the person's actions. The actions they did early on and the actions they did later on. And this to me, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best, it seems to be the better or the one that is the stronger of the opinions, that it means يَعْلَمُ أَعْمَالَهُ جَمِيعًا الْمُتَقَدِّمَ وَالْمُتَأَخِّرَ. He's going to know all the actions that he did, those which came early on and those which came later on, those in his life, those that came after he died. He is going to know all of them. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. And this seems to me to be the stronger of them, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. أَوَائِلُ الْأَعْمَالِ وَأَوَاخِرُ الْأَعْمَالِ. The actions that a person did in the beginning of their life and the actions that the person did at the end of their life, or the actions they did in their lifetime and the actions that they did in their grave. I actually don't think this is that far away from what Ibn Jarir said, rahimahullah ta'ala. Because what he said also is, he said, the actions they did in their life and then what comes to them after their death as a consequence of what they did in their life. Meaning the very first thing you did and the very last thing you did, all of it, you're going to know about it. Don't forget what we said when we were talking about in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. What did we say is the حساب اليسير, the easy account. Do you remember we said this in the tafsir class? What did we say, Brad? What's the easy account? Because we said there is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, مَنْ نُوْقِشَ الْحِسَابِ فَقَدْ هَلَكَ. Whoever's account is taken, they're going to be destroyed. That's it. If you get your account taken, you're going to be destroyed. So how can there be حِسَابٌ يَسِيرٌ? How can there be an easy account? If your حِسَاب is going to make you destroyed, how can there be an easy حِسَاب? An easy destruction. Not too much of a destruction. Just a simple destruction. If you're going to be destroyed, you're going to be destroyed. There can't be an easy destruction. So what is the hisab which is yasir, the easy account? Al-ard. The presentation of the deeds. that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents to you your deeds in an overview sense, in a general sense, right? Like you see your deeds, but you're not asked about every single minute. You may be asked about some of your deeds, you may be asked about some of your sins, but it's not a minute by minute, every second, what was this, and what was this, and what was this, and what was this, because whoever gets that will be destroyed. You will not survive it. But it is the presentation of your deeds that you see. مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. You see what you did in the beginning, what you did in the end. And Allah will ask you about certain things. For example, أَمَا فَعَلْتَ ذَنْبَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. Did you not do this sin and that sin? Did you not do this thing and that thing? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as I concealed it for you in the dunya, so I forgive it for you in the akhirah. This has been asked about certain sins, but it's not a niqash, the detailed analysis of every single thing that you did, because this one, you will not escape from it. مَنْ نُوْخِشَ الْحِسَابِ فَقَدْ هَلَكَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. Whoever has their account taken to in detail, they're going to be destroyed. But al-ard, where you are presented with your deeds and you see your deeds from the beginning to the end and you're asked about some of them, but this is al-hisab al-yasir. This is the easy accounting that Allah Azza wa Jalla took the person to account for. This has examples elsewhere in the Quran, like the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Al-Kahf, يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا وَلَمْ يَظْلِمُوا رَبُّكَ وَلَا يَظْلِمُوا رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Woe to me, what is this book that has not left anything small or anything big except that it's recorded it? And they found what they did present with them, everything they did. And your Lord does not oppress anyone. And the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, أحصاه الله ونسو. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enumerated everything that they did, every single thing they did. And yet they forgot Him. And they were neglectful. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ. This phrase in the Quran is interesting. Because what's interesting about it is, who does it refer to? يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ. Some of the scholars of tafsir, they said that this phrase in the Surah Makkiyah refers to the kafir. And we said it's not always the case, because sometimes it's not. Sometimes, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَادَحًا فَمُلَاقِي. We said it applies to everybody, right? Everyone is toiling and working and you're going to meet Allah. But many of the times the word insan comes in the Qur'an, it refers to in the Surah Makkiyah, it refers to the kafir, to the disbeliever. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. Ibn Kathir, he points out here that there is a mistaken tafsir here. You might have heard some people say it, that this here is directed towards the believer. Does anyone hear what they said for it? They said that some people say it's directed towards a believer. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ. O mankind, what has deceived you about your Lord, the generous? They said that the meaning here is al-karam, yani that it's the generosity of Allah. غَرَّنِي كَرَمُكْ. Your generosity, yani I was... You know, what's the word? Not deceived is maybe the wrong word, but I was caught up in your generosity. That's not the meaning here. The meaning here is this is a rebuke. مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. What has deceived you with regard to your Lord? How have you reached a stage where you have disbelieved in Allah, when Allah is Al-Kareem. مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. How can you have become deceived with regard to your Lord who is Al-Kareem, and so you disbelieved in Him? Like the hadith that Allah Azza wa Jal will say, يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَبْنَ آدَمَ مَا غَرَّكَ بِي يَبْنَ آدَمَ مَاذَا أُجِبْتَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَمَاذَا أَجَبْتَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. O son of Adam, what has fooled you about me? O son of Adam, what has fooled you? How have you become fooled about me? How can you have disbelieved in me when Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Kareem? يَبْنَ آدَمْ مَا غَرَّكَ بِي. O son of Adam, what has fooled you about me? O son of Adam, مَاذَا أَجَبْتَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. What have you answered the messengers? What did you do to answer the messengers? I was looking for the ayah in Surah Al-Qasas to see the translation. وَيَوْمَ يُنَادِيهِمْ فَيَقُولُ مَاذَا أَجَبْتُمُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. On the day He will call them and say, what did you answer the messengers? مَا غَرَّكَ بِي. What fooled you? What deceived you to stop worshipping Allah and to waste your time in this dunya? What was it that deceived you? This here, even if the zahir is al-umum, it generally looks like it's a general statement, ya ayyuhal insan, then many times in these surahs which are makkiya, the intention behind insan is the disbeliever. What's the opposite then? So Allah calls to the believers, ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, or you who believe, and calls to the disbeliever, ya ayyuhal insan, or human being. Sometimes it's like that, that the insan is the opposite of alladhina amanu, or you who believe. Allah is calling you from your iman, by your iman, or people of iman, ya ayyuhal insan, or person. مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ. This here is connected to the previous ayah. What has deceived you regarding your Lord, who is the most generous, the one who created you and proportioned you, فَعَدَلَكَ, and made you balanced? Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, he brings the narration of Imam Ahmad from Busr ibn Jahash al-Qurashi, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spat one day into the palm of his hand and he put his finger on it. And he said, Allah said, Yabna Adam, Anna tu'jizuni, how will you escape me? Waqad khalaqtuka min mithli hadhihi, I created you from something like this. And he spat like that. And he put his finger and he said, Allah will say, O son of Adam, how are you going to escape me when I created you from something like this? How will you escape me when I created you from something like this? Hatta idha sawaytuk wa adaltuk, until when I proportioned you and made you balanced, Mashayta bayna or mashita bayna, you went walking. And you were a person, and you went walking with pride. Sawaka means ja'alaka sawiyan, mustaqiman, that I've made you upright and you stand up straight and proportioned. Mu'tadil, yani you are proportioned properly. Like your legs are the right length for your arms and your body, and your head is the right, everything is in proportion. Fasawaka, meaning after you were a drop of fluid. After you were a drop of fluid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you into a person who is well proportioned. You can see, you can hear, you can think. فعدلك جعلك معتدلا. يعني جعلك قائما معتدلا حسن الصورة. Like عطاء said, Allah made you stand up. Allah made you معتدلا, like equally proportioned, balanced like that. Your two arms and your two legs and your body, your torso, your head, everything in the right shape. حسن الصورة, with a beautiful appearance. What did Allah bring you from? From nothing, from a drop. From a drop. And Allah Azza wa Jal made you like that. Muqatil, he said, Adala means خَلَقَكَ فِي الْعَيْنَيْنِ وَالْأُذُنَيْنِ وَالْيَدَيْنِ وَالْرِجْلَيْنِ. And it gave you two eyes and two ears, two hands, two legs, and it balanced. Balanced. And some of them said, جَعَلَ لَكَ كُلَّ عَضْوٍ فِي مَوْضِعِهِ. Put every part of your body, every limb goes in the right place. Everything in that place. This really, if you think about it, this is from the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal. Really, that Allah Azza wa Jal took you from a drop and made you into this human being that you are. And you are properly proportioned, and you have a nice appearance, and you are balanced, everything in the right place. Imagine if one of your eyes was just a bit too far on one side. Imagine if one of your eyes was just over here. How would you be? The kids find it funny. Imagine if one of your ears was on the back of your head. Some people, subhanAllah, Allahu musta'an, yani one arm is missing, or some hands, some fingers, or some problems they have, difficulties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look how He created you. He created you and proportioned you and fashioned you with balance, with everything in the right place, with proportion, everything is the right size, everything is the right shape, everything fits together perfectly. So then how is it you don't worship Him? How is it that after that you don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this is subhanAllah from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. And you see that Allah Azza wa Jal, not just human beings, but even animals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the proportion of each one properly. Each one has the shape and the size and the movement to be able to do what it is has been and what Allah Azza wa Jal has intended for it to do. And this, wallah, is so strange that we, when we see this as Muslims, we see this as an ayah from the ayat of Allah. And then you have Darwinism and you have people talking about evolution, and it's so strange, wallah, that they cannot see that this creation that is in front of you, this is a sign from the signs of Allah, that Allah has created these things near to one another. Similar, but not the same. Allah Azza wa Jal created everything from water. Allah Azza wa Jal created every living thing from water. And Allah Azza wa Jal created things that are similar but not the same. Right? Similar but not the same. Then for someone to see that and say that this is a proof that there is no God. To see this and say this is a proof there is no God, because look how the things are all similar and they all look like one of them came from the other, so there is no God. This is an ayah min ayatillah. It's a sign from the signs of Allah that Allah Azza wa Jal khalaqaka fasawwaka fa'adalak. Allah created you from this drop. And He made you into the human being that you are. And each of those animals, He made them into what they are. And He gave them everything in the right size. And everything, He put it in balance. And everything is in the place that it should be. And everything does the job that it's supposed to do. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. How after that can you be deceived about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Also from the benefits of فَعَدَلَك, is another qira'ah. From which we benefit, and I don't know, I haven't got it written down properly. But the meaning of it is that Allah Azza wa Jal sarafak. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not that He proportioned, but that He put you in the way that He wants you to be. And He made you, each of you, different from the other. And He made you lean towards amalaka. Amalaka. Ila hay'atin arada an yaj'alaka alayha. And He made you lean towards and develop into the way that He wants you to develop. Someone is tall, someone is short. Someone has light skin, someone has dark skin, someone has light eyes, colored eyes, dark eyes, light hair, you know, whatever it is, that someone has a big build, someone has a thin build. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who made you like that. He is the one who made you like that. One of you resembles the father, some of them said. One of you resembles the mother. Allah Azza wa Jal made you kind of develop like that. Develop into the way that He wants you to develop. فِي أَيِّ صُورَةٍ مَا شَاءَ رَكَّبَكَ. Mujahid, he said, فِي أَيِّ شَبَهٍ أَبٍ أَوْ أُمٍ أَوْ خَالٍ أَوْ عَمٍ. Whichever way that Allah wants you to resemble, fi ayyi surah. The ayah, it says, the literal wording of the ayah says, in whatever form He willed, He has made you come out like that. Whatever form that He willed. Mujahid, he said, it's the resemblance here. What the ayah means is, that Allah wanted you to resemble. Like some of you are born, the kids are born, they look like their mom. Sometimes the kids are born, they look like their dad. Sometimes the kids are born, they don't look like their mom or their dad. They look like their uncle or their grandfather or their grandmother. And Ibn Kathir, he brings the hadith in Sahihain from the hadith of Abi Hurairah, that a man said, Ya Rasulullah, Inna imra'ati وَلَدَتْ غُلَامًا أَسْوَدْ. He said, O Messenger of Allah, my wife has given birth to a black boy. And he was fair-skinned, and his wife was fair-skinned. My wife has given birth to a black boy, a dark-skinned boy. The Prophet ﷺ said to him something very beautiful. He said, هَلَّكَ مِنْ إِبِلْ. He said, have you got camels? قال نعم قال فما ألوانها He said, what color are your camels? The man was upset because he's fair-skinned and his wife is fair-skinned and she's given birth to a dark-skinned boy. So he comes to the Prophet ﷺ and he says to the Prophet ﷺ, my wife's given birth to a black boy. The Prophet ﷺ said, have you got camels? He said, yes. He said, what color are your camels? He said, humr. He said, they are humr. They are red, red camels. قَالَ فَهَلْ فِيهَا مِنْ أَوْرَقٍ Do they have different colors come out in the camels? Like your camels are red camels. Do you sometimes get a camel that has a different shade, a different color? قَالَ نَعَمْ He said, yes. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَأَنَّا أَتَاهَا ذَلِكَ Where did this different color come from? If your camels are all red, how is it one of your camels is not red? And your camels are all red, one of them's got like the shade of a different color or it's got a completely different color to it, different patch to it or a different mark on it, different color. How if the mother of the camel is red and the father of the camel is red, how is it that the camel has come out a different color? The man said, عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونَ He said, perhaps it is that there is something from the camels that the ancestors of the camels. I want to get the translation because I'm not sure I'm going to translate it. I'm translating it exactly right. I'm going to get the translation from Sahih al-Bukhari. The same thing, the hereditary. نَزَعَهُ عِرْق يعني the hereditary. عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونَ نَزَعَهُ عِرْق And perhaps it is the hereditary. يعني like this camel got this color because of the camels before it. And the grandfather camel or the great-grandfather camel and then the color of the camel came out like that. The Prophet ﷺ said, وَهَذَا عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونَ نَزَعَهُ عِرْقٍ He said, and I think this son of yours also took his color from his ancestry. So the man became settled by it. He was not upset by it. The hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. And he became the man, he became happy with what the Prophet ﷺ said to him. So here, what we see from this is that the Prophet ﷺ instructed him with regard to the camel, do you have any camel which is awraq, any which is dark color? Any two red camels have a dark camel because of its ancestry. This is the tafsir of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal fi ayyi suratin ma sha'a rakabak. Allah made you how you look. Allah made you how you look. Dark skin, light skin, dark hair, dark eyes, light eyes, tall, short. Whatever you are, Allah Azza wa Jal made you like you look. Fi ayyi suratin ma sha'a rakabak. Meaning whether you resemble your mother or your father or your uncle or your other uncle. Hey, the other qira'ah is عَذَّلَك. The other qira'ah, عَذَّلَك. فِي أَيِّ الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَذَّلَك. And however Allah Azza wa Jal صَرَفَكَ هَذَا التَّصْرِيفِ يعني He made you come out that way. Allah is the one who made you come out that way. And Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who made you come out that way. And so a person should praise Allah Azza wa Jal for what Allah Azza wa Jal gave them. And for Allah's karam, because this is all related to the karam of Allah. Allah is kareem, right? مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ الَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ فِي أَيِّ صُورَةٍ مَا شَاءَ رَكَّبَكَ. So now we want to ask a question. This is all related to the karam of Allah, Allah's generosity. It's Allah's generosity that He created you, and Allah's generosity that He made you like you are. Allah's generosity that He made you lean towards one resemblance or another. Allah's generosity that He made you look the way that you look. And that, when we talk about Allah's generosity, we'll make one istithna here. And that is what a person does to themselves to ruin what Allah gave them. But this doesn't come under the ayah. This doesn't come under the ayah. So someone says, see, you know, this extra weight that I have, في أي صورة ما شاء ركبك. Allah ركبني كذلك. Allah عز وجل made me like this, this extra weight. Or Allah عز وجل made me, you know, with this stomach. Or this is not what Allah عز وجل made you, and it's not what Allah عز وجل wanted from you. Rather, this is what you did to yourself. But that's different. What a person does to themselves, that doesn't fall under the ayah. But you should be happy with what Allah has given you. And I want to link this to something. That in this day and age, especially among our sisters in Islam, there is so much pressure to change the way that you look. Among brothers, maybe there is, but you know, sadly, the brothers becoming like women in that regard. But Allah, there is so much pressure to change the way you look. To look something different. You know, this whatever kind of plastic surgery and even small things. Like even if we talk about makeup, hatta, even though we don't say that makeup is not haram if it's for the husband. But there's just huge pressure just to look like somebody else. And this entire world of fake people. These people you see on TV, the billboards, they're fake. It's photoshopped. Just put Photoshop and this person doesn't look like this. In real life, you'll say, huh? This is not the person. This is not this. This is not how people look. So a person should praise Allah Azza wa Jalla al-Kareem, the most generous, who created you like He created you. And don't be trying to change it. Try to change, yes, the things which are negative from your own self that you have, you know, you ruined it for yourself. Like you ruined your teeth, or you know, you ruined your weight, or you ruined your some aspect. Yeah, and you fix it, no problem. But be happy with what Allah gave you. Don't say, if I wish I could be just this much taller. I wish I could be just this much shorter. I wish I could be just this, like this different. I wish my skin was a bit lighter, a bit darker, a bit. Leave this. Because it's from the karam of Allah Azza wa Jal that He created you like He did. كَلَّا بَلْ تُكَذِّبُونَ بِالدِّينِ كَلَّا بَلْ تُكَذِّبُونَ بِالدِّينِ. This is from the ayat which prove or which indicate that the instruction here towards the insan is towards the disbeliever. كَلَّا بَلْ تُكَذِّبُونَ بِالدِّينِ. Rather you deny a deen. Rather you deny the recompense, the day of recompense that Allah told you about. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. Allah told you about it. كَلَّا بَلْ تُكَذِّبُونَ بِالدِّينِ. After Allah's karam, that Allah created you and made you like you are, proportioned you and gave you the right shape and the right size and the right balance and made you like you are. And then you disbelieve in the resurrection. كَلَّا بَلْ تُكَذِّبُونَ بِالدِّينِ. And this is what Ibn Kathir, he said something powerful. He said, إِنَّمَا يَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَى مُوَاجَهَةِ الْكَرِيمِ وَمُقَابَلَتِهِ بِالْمَعَاصِي تَكْذِيبُ مَا فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ بِالْمَعَادِ وَالْجَزَاءِ وَالْحِسَابِ. He said, the thing that made you oppose Allah's generosity to you, that Allah is Al-Kareem and you went against it and you sinned and you disobeyed Allah after all of that generosity towards you, it's because in your heart you didn't believe in the recompense. Kalla here is lizajr. It's a rebuke. Kalla. It's not like you think. Kalla. How did the person become fooled? How did the person become fooled? How did the person go against Allah's generosity and kindness to them and then disbelieve in them? Ibn Jarir, he said, لَيْسَ الْأَمْرُ أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ كَمَا تَقُولُونَ مِنْ أَنَّكُمْ عَلَى الْحَقِّ فِي عِبَادَتِكُمْ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ. He said, the matter is not like you think, O disbelievers, when you say that you are upon the truth in your worshipping of other than Allah, but you are a people who disbelieve in the recompense. كَلَّا لَيْسَ الْأَمْرُ كَمَا زَعَمْتُمْ. It's not like you think. Some of them said, it's not like you think that this karam from Allah, that this generosity from Allah is going to mean that you will escape the punishment. Some of them said like this. اغْتَرَرْتُمْ بِكَرَمِ اللَّهِ. So some of them said like this. Either it's not like you think when you said that Allah's generosity towards you means you won't be resurrected. Or it's not like you think when you said that you're upon the truth. Or it's not like you think when you said that your worship is correct. Or it's not like you think when you said that you will not be resurrected. All of those are similar in meaning. كَلَّا بَلْ تُكَذِّبُونَ بِالدِّينِ. كَلَّا بَلْ تُكَذِّبُونَ بِالدِّينِ. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ. You have over you angels. And these angels, they have certain characteristics that Allah Azza wa Jalla told us about. They are حافظين. ويرسل عليكم حفظة. They are حافظين. They are حافظين. They are حافظين. I.e. they record for you your deeds. They are حافظين. I.e. they record for you your deeds. يَحْفَظُونَ عَلَيْكَ أَوْ لَكَ عَمَلَكَ. They record for you and preserve for you the things you did, the good and the bad. They are also حَافِظِينَ لَكَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. They protect you from what Allah has not decreed to happen to you. And the things that Allah has not decreed to happen, that this is not going to happen to you. This sickness is not going to affect you. Kiraman katibin. Kiraman katibin. They are noble angels. The angel that writes your good and the angel that writes your bad, both of them are noble angels. It's not like the angel that writes your good is good and the angel that writes your bad is bad. The angels, both of them are kiraman katibin. They are noble angels and they are writing. يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. They know what you do. Here is a really interesting issue. Does anyone other than Allah know what you think? Sometimes people ask this question, does the shaitan know what you think? Does anyone other than Allah know what you think? This is an interesting and not an easy to answer question. So the way I would answer this, وَالْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, Allah knows better, is to say first of all that the basic principle is no one knows what you keep in as a secret inside of you, illallah, except Allah. But Allah Azza wa Jal has given certain beings among His creation a knowledge and an ability for certain parts of that. For example, if what you conceal within yourself is an act which is good or bad, then Allah has given the angel the ability to know about it so that the angel can record that good or that bad. If it is mimma yuhasabul abd alayh, if it's what a person's going to be taken to account for. So there are some things you keep secret inside of yourself, it's not a matter of hisab, you'll not be taken to account for it. It's a personal feeling, or it's not something which is you'll be taken to account for. There are some things you'll be taken to account for. The feelings you have in your heart, as-sidq, the truthfulness, the belief in Allah versus nifaq, hypocrisy. These are actions, secrets in the heart, but they are things, yuhasabu alayhi al-abd, the person is going to be taken to account for it, yawm al-qiyamah. So this, Allah Azza wa Jal gives those angels the ability to know it, because that is their job. Kiraman katibin. Wa inna alaykum lahafidin. People who preserve, angels who preserve for you your deeds. Kiraman katibin, noble scribes. Ya'lamuna ma taf'alun. They know what you do from the things that you that will be recorded for you. As for the shayateen, then the shaitan has been given a certain ability from Allah, but that ability doesn't reach the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. It doesn't reach that he knows. That what is hidden, what is apparent, what is hidden, what is secret, وَأَخْفَى, what is hidden. The shaitan does not have that knowledge. But Allah has given the shaitan a certain ability, and the ability is mentioned in Surah Ibrahim. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعُوتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ الْآيَةِ. The shaitan will say, when everything is said and done, indeed Allah promised you and His promise was true, and I promised you and I broke my promise. And I never had any authority over you except that I called you and you answered me. So the shaitan had what he needs to have to be able to call you, like to know what you incline towards, to know what your heart is connected with, and to know what your heart is inclined, or what you love, what you will answer, what you want to do. Those things the shaitan has been given in order to fulfill the purpose that the shaitan was created for. That the shaitan is going to call you and you're going to answer or not. Either you answer or you don't. But as for the knowledge of everything that is in your heart and everything you conceal, no one knows it except Allah Azza wa Jal. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. But Allah gives the angels the knowledge of what they need to record your deeds, including the deeds of the heart. And Allah Azza wa Jal gives the shayateen what they use to call a person and to incline a person towards something and to remind them of it, to know that person's nature and to know what they incline towards and what they can be fooled with and what they can be tricked with. I think that's a good place to stop. There's a question here. Ibn al-Qayyim, he has a nice quote, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He said, "Ay istahyu min ha'ula'il hafidhin al-kiram وأكرموهم وأجلوهم أن يروا منكم ما تستحيون أن يراكم عليه من هو مثلكم والملائكة تتأذى مما يتأذى منه بنو آدم وإذا كان ابن آدم يتأذى مما يفجر وَيَعْصِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَإِنْ كَانَ يَعْمَلُ مِثْلَ عَمَلِهِ فَمَا الظَّنُّ بِأَذَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ الْكِرَامَ الْكَاتِبِينَ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانِ. Ibn Qayyim, he says, you should be shy of these angels that are guarding your deeds, and you should be kind, you should behave well towards them, and you should honor them, so they don't see from you that which you would be shy for another person to see from you. And the angels are harmed by what people are harmed by. In other words, what people dislike and what people find horrible, the angels also find it horrible. So if Ibn Adam is, you know, finds it horrible for a person to do wicked things in front of them, even if they do wicked things themselves, but they don't like to see somebody do something disgusting or something wicked in front of them, so what do you think about the angels who are al-kiram al-katibin? Wallahu al-musta'an. And it's Allah's help that is sought. In reality, there is a hadith we can add to this, which is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْلَىٰ أَنْ يُسْتَحِيَ مِنْ. Allah is the most deserving one for you to be shy of. Before you are shy of the kiram al-katibin, you need to be shy of Allah Azza wa Jal. From this, some of the scholars took the masail, and they took some masail from this, like, are you allowed to sleep with your awrah uncovered and things like this? Some of them took it from this ayah. Some of them said, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ, that if they are kiram and they are noble, and that you shouldn't, in their presence, you shouldn't do something which they would find unpleasant. And they find unpleasant what people find unpleasant, like the Prophet ﷺ said. Some of them took this. Some of them took it from the statement, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْلَىٰ أَنْ يُسْتَحِيَ مِنْ. Allah is more deserving that you are shy of Him, that a person should be careful about how they behave in private. And some of them took it that you shouldn't sleep with your awrah uncovered and things like that. In any case, what I believe to be the correct opinion in this, وَالْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, is that a person doesn't make haraj for themselves. Like some people, they make a lot of haraj, a lot of hardship. Like they go in the shower with their clothes on, completely. And they say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْلَىٰ أَنْ يُسْتَحِيَ مِنْ. Allah is the one you should be shy of. Sahih, Allah is the one you should be shy of, no doubt. But the problem with this is you're not even, maybe get the ghusl doesn't get done properly. And so you're not doing what Allah commanded you to do. But yes, a person avoids walking around the house without their awrah properly covered. Yes, a person should be careful when they go to sleep that they don't. They're not just unnecessarily behaving as though they're not thinking that Allah Azza wa Jal sees them, and they're not conscious that the angels, the kiram, katibin are with them. So a person should, you know, should be conscious of that. But at the same time, a person shouldn't get to the stage where their concern is the angels and their concern is not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْلَىٰ أَنْ يُسْتَحِيَ مِنْ. Allah is more deserving, you should be shy of Him. So I think when I looked at this issue that, yes, a person should be shy of Allah in private. Yes, a person should be shy of how they dress and behave in private. But also a person shouldn't make more hardship upon themselves than or shouldn't make hardship which is in excess of what the Sharia came with. You stay with what Islam came with. If there's a time when you need to bathe or shower or whatever. But don't also, you know, some people in the house, they have no limit, yani no shyness, whatever they do, whatever they wear, whatever they say. And you've seen these stories of Zoom calls and the people are not, you know, wearing clothes and things like that. إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْلَىٰ أَنْ يُسْتَحِيَ مِنْ. Allah is more deserving that you should be shy of Him. So a person should be shy of that, and they should be shy anyway of, you know, subhanAllah, you should be shy of Allah. And then on top of that, you think that the angels are watching, noble angels, noble people, and you're not riffraff, and you're not like the guys, you know, like some bad people from the street, and noble angels of great status in the sight of Allah are watching what you do. Don't give them all of these horrible things to watch. Let them, don't give them evil things to watch and horrible things to watch. Let them see karam from you like they are kiram, like they are noble. Let them see from you nobility. And that's what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said, or that's approximately what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said. So I think now is a good time for us to take a pause, to stop inshallah. We'll continue this surah next week. Possibly next week we might finish it and start already to the Shamsu Kuwirat, because we might find there's only a little bit left. So we'll see inshallah what Allah makes easy for us. Perhaps next week we'll do between the two. We'll finish this one and start the next one inshallah. And maybe if we have more points to make, then maybe we'll finish this one and start the next week inshallah. Reminder that on Sunday there's no kids class. On Sunday, because of the dawra that's going on at the moment. And just an encouragement for everyone, if you're able, from 5:30 until 8 o'clock every night, UK time, 5:30 to 8 o'clock. For the next 2 weeks, there is a dawra ilmiya, there's an intensive Islamic course online on the Al-Madrasatul Umariya YouTube channel. If Al-Madrasatul Umariya is a big word, so you can just type in AMAU. If you just type in AMAU and just type in Tim, let me make it simple, AMAU Tim, you should find the channel, inshallah. And from that channel, you can see myself, I'm teaching Al-Wasiyat al-Sughra by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and also Kashf al-Shubahat by Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahumullah ta'ala. And then Shaykh Abdurrahman, Allah ihfadhu, he's going to be teaching two more books the next week. And it's every single day from 5:30 until 8. Now, for the people in the UK, if Asr time comes in the way, pray Asr. Don't miss Asr because of it. Because the thing with online seminars is it's difficult, because where is Asr in one place, is Maghrib in the other, it's all mixed up. But it's recorded anyway, you can go back to it. So I would suggest maybe join at 5:30, maybe 5:45, go pray Asr, come back 6:15, join again until 8 o'clock, catch up the half an hour that you missed, inshallah, no problem. The times are different, and the prayer times, for us anyway, the prayer time here is 6 o'clock. So, but it's worth it, inshallah. It's really been so good so far, alhamdulillah. It's been very, very, very good. And the interaction from the students has been very good. And I think, inshallah, next week when Sheikh Abdurrahman starts, it will be even better, inshallah. So I would encourage everybody, AMAU, the 2 weeks intensive seminar, 5:30 till 8 o'clock UK time. That's what Allah made easy for me to mention. Allah knows best. Wassalatu wassalam ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.